Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad John Mertz is here. John is a new friend. He's worked in the halls of corporate America, in the halls of politics, as high as it goes, the White House. And he's also been a farmer's son, is a farmer's son, I guess I should say. And some of that sounds a little bit like my career. So I'm looking forward to hearing what he has to say. He's taken on a responsibility that's a pretty big load. He wants to help millennials be successful as they emerge into the workplace and the marketplace. And he's written a book about it, Activate Leadership, Aspen Truths to Empower Millennial Leaders. And he's our new friend, John Mertz. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jim. Really appreciate the opportunity to engage in this conversation.
Good to have you here. I grew up on a farm raising livestock primarily, and a lot of hay and milking cows and that sort of thing. And I'm curious about your background along those lines.
Yeah, very, very similar. I grew up on a very typical family farm in South Dakota, and we had a little bit of everything. So we had some grain crops and some cattle and hogs and chickens, and I had to milk cows by hand, and lots of chores after school, or obviously in the summertime, getting very dirty on the tractor. This was before cabs and air conditioning.
Right. Oh yeah, yeah. My equipment was all open air.
Yeah, ours was too.
You know, a few years ago, someone in my family complained about one of my in-laws complained about the price of milk.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, have you ever milked a cow? And they said, no. I said, if you'd ever milked a cow, you wouldn't complain about the price of milk.
That's right.
I know you can relate. So what drew you to the millennials? Why have you, you're not a millennial, you're a couple of generations ahead of them. You're a baby boomer like me.
Yeah.
Why have you taken this generation on?
Well, I think for a couple of reasons. One, if I've learned more about them, I'd like to think I have a little bit of a millennial mindset. But more importantly, it was, I guess, about 5 or 6 years ago, I started writing about leadership topics. And eventually kind of work and writing collided in that. About 5 years ago, I hired my first person kind of straight out of college, so my first millennial employee, team member. And it scared the living daylights out of me, to be honest. I was afraid I was going to mess it up, that I had seen all the headlines that everybody else had read about
right.
Generation job hopping and, you know, needing all the special care and all those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
And I was concerned that as a leader, you know, she was going to leave after 3 months and people would look at me and say, yeah, he couldn't cut it. And but then, you know, as I started reading more about it and digging kind of below the surface, it just, a lot of it was, in my opinion, was taken out of context, and in my experience has been very different. The person I hired is still with the company 5 years later,
mm-hmm.
And so it really kind of honed what I was doing on Thin Difference to focus on leadership, but with the added element and focus of generational leadership and trying to share experiences across generations and really support the next one.
You know, I think that the millennials have gotten a little bit of a bad rap about this job hopping thing. I think that's been misconstrued several times because I don't think what the original intention of that maxim, I think that, you know, that they were like that, was not that they would job hop every few months or even every year or two, but that when they go to work for you, they don't necessarily see you as somebody they're going to retire from.
Right.
I think that's the main thing, because I've had millennials when I hired them, I told them, I said, you're not going to work for me very long. I need you to fill a role for me. And when you outgrow what I need you to do, you're going to move on.
Right.
We, you know, and I've had millennials to work for me for 5 or 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
So like you say, so that's one of the things I think they get a bad rap along those lines. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, there's two points. Like this. They're both kind of economic oriented. I think that the context was missing. One is the millennials entered the early millennials anyway entered the job market at one of the worst economic times in our history, and so they had to find some type of job, pay the education loans and those types of things.
Mm-hmm.
It may not have been the ideal job, but or even the job that could pay all the bills. But it was
plus it's a big generation.
Right.
Not only did they come in at a tough time that all the rest of us were dealing with, but they kind of flooded the zone.
Yeah, and I think the other side is that, you know, they saw what their parents went through.
Right.
You know, that kind of to your point on the company. I mean, you know, today parents haven't worked generally for companies for 50, 60 years because of all the layoffs and everything else that has changed in corporate environment. And so growing up and seeing what their parents went through, like you said, I think they know that they're not going to work for a single company necessarily for, you know, their whole career.
Mm-hmm. Well, but the thing that I have admired about and have benefited from the millennial generation is they come out of school, unlike you and me. When we graduated from college, you know, our high school or whatever, you know, we didn't know where the bathroom was. Somebody had to show us everything, right? I mean, we really didn't have any real marketable skills. We had an education, we had energy, we wanted to work, but most of us didn't have any real marketable skills. These kids are coming out of school with technical capability.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
I mean, they're taking leadership roles in my company right out of college. Now, in terms of the technical ability, and here's this other thing, they still are immature in the terms of the workplace and what's to be expected of them. That's where they. I think they need help. What do you think?
Yeah, I think I think that's true for any 20-something. It, you know, definitely was true when I was 20-something as well. And I think that's the challenge for the older generations is to not put up these walls of of stereotypes of, mm-hmm. of millennials, but instead, you know, share their experiences. Learn from them as well. Open that door. But also then, you know, give them some opportunities to kind of spread their wings as well. I mean, there's things that need to be done every day, you know, the things that you hired them for.
Right.
You need to do that work.
Right.
But then there should be some green space available where they can, you know, have a little more freedom, I guess, if you will, to be innovative or creative. Or
that's the part I want you to talk about next. How do we manage them differently than we would, say, a peer of our own generation? John Mertz, ladies and gentlemen, MERTZ. The book is called Activate Leadership, Aspen Truths to Empower Millennial Leaders. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.